languages besides English. You can read what other people write about the United States, or talk to these people what they think of America. I know of no social scientist in the Western world that believes America as we know it will survive. Not one. No way. Cannot survive. And why not? Because of the answer we're getting here. For years now, our educational system has been separated from religion. We can partially talk about morality. It really isn't. For 5 years, I worked with the Bishop's Conference in Washington, representing the American hierarchy. There were 60 of us working, I repeat, for 5 years, from different national educational associations, trying desperately to get some religion to be taught in our public schools. No way. No way. And that is why, by the way, we have the present president and his wife. Though she is really in charge. As my friends in Washington tell me, Bill Clinton is not our president. She is. But minus those basic principles of religion, without which there cannot be any sound morality. And I should add, I know of no other country quite like it. And the result, of course, is, as we know, not have any place for religion in the school system. So what happens? So we fill our jails. Still in 154, as Christians become de-Christianized, their moral judgment becomes less and less based on the Gospels. What Christian believers today must do is face the facts of life. The world in which they live has become alarmingly un-Christian, or even anti-Christian in its way of living. We believers must be convinced that Christianity is not simply a set of propositions to be accepted by the mind. Rather, faith is a lived knowledge of Christ, a living memorial of his commandments. It is a truth to be lived out. Our faith is to be a decision which involves our whole existence. It is an encounter, a dialogue, a communion of love between the believer and Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Remove religion from education, and you produce criminals. And repeat the sentence. You remove religion from education You train criminals. Our faith involves an act of trusting abandonment to Christ, which enables us to live as He lived, in profound love of His Father and of us, His brethren and sisters. Our faith further calls for a lifetime commitment to grow in the likeness of Christ. Thus our faith becomes a witness to the world as we testify to everyone whose life we touch that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Abortion will cease in the United States when Catholics are willing to die to save the life of an unborn child. Let me repeat. Abortion will stop in our country when Catholics are willing to die to save the life of an unborn child. Our faith, finally, is to lead us to prepare for the sweep supreme witness of martyrdom, ready to lay down our lives to testify that Jesus Christ is indeed God become man, who died of love for us on the cross. It's years now. I've been telling one audience after another, we are living in the age of martyrs. I never expand beyond a sentence or two, and I will not expand here beyond a sentence or two. But you must live a martyr's life. You must live it and die. And I mean die, that's spelled D-I-E. If you want people to follow your example and join you in believing in and loving Jesus Christ, only God knows. And I'll make sure I will never publicly divulge the price that God in His goodness has enabled me to pay to try to remain faithful to Him over these years. And it is death. That's spelled D-E-A-T-H. Death. And death of the body is cheap compared to other kinds of murder that the enemies of Christ can cause. How well I know. This is real, honest to God reality. Let's take a few more before we take our break. How is martyrdom an outstanding sign of the holiness of the Church? And by the way, the Pope, in this encyclical, afterwards, depending on who you are, you're liable to say, oh, Pope John, that's plenty. After 15 times in reading about martyrdom, stop it, stop it. But he won't. How is martyrdom an outstanding sign of the holiness of the Church? Martyrdom shows what generosity the Church church's members are willing to make rather than fail to obey a moral law of God. In this way, they witness to the church's credibility as a divinely inspired source of sanctity. Let's be as honest as we can. Your certitude will be only as convincing to others. And all the big words you use are so much wasted rhetoric. Your certitude about your faith will be only as convincing to others as you are willing to suffer for what you believe. I mean that. Oh, how deeply, how clearly, how firmly I believe that, because I know it. It's real. R-E-A-L. Real. As I told a professor in the seminary of the Fathers of Archbishop Lefebvre, brilliant man, talking far into the night. And he was telling me about one scandal of the church after another. Said, look, you'll have to live much longer than you've lived so far to have one-tenth the experience of the scandals in the church that I have had. You've got one problem. It's very simple. Your problem is you are afraid of the cross. You're running away from the cross. To obey a superior, in my case, in Chicago, for years, after being for years my superior, proceeded to leave the Jesuit order and the priesthood. But by that time, well, I had paid my price. I moved to New York, and for years my first superior in New York, same thing. For years I lived with him. I did not mince words. What do I thought I should do or not do? He's my superior. I'm under a vow of obedience. After years, then he too leaves the order and the priesthood. And this is what our faith is all about. It means, and I mean this from the depths of my heart, loving Jesus Christ crucified. That's what it means to be a Catholic. Everything else is rhetoric. Okay. In context, the Pope is talking about totalitarianism and the heroic pressure that millions of followers of Christ have been under, say, under the totalitarianism of the communists. But 169, one is the collapse of such totalitarianism as Marxism in Europe, or with a collapse, what is the new danger in the Western world? The Pope is almost a commentary on the Clinton administration. Answer is the risk of an alliance between democracy and moral relativism. There's a danger that democracy will remove all moral absolutes. As a result, a nominally democratic society becomes open or thinly disguised totalitarianism. As a further result, true freedom based on objective truth disappears. That's why all of our Jesuit colleges and universities all over the United States have lost their essential Jesuit identity. In giving in to a secularist state that puts pressure and more pressure and still more pressure as you conform, well, to a state which is anything but Christian, not to say Catholic. Is the church's moral teaching only an ideal? By no means. The church's moral teaching is really the teaching of Christ. He promised his followers the supernatural light and strength they need to obey his commandments. But on our side, his commandments. We must be willing to use our freedom in cooperating with the grace of God. Well, let me tell you, how much I could say. The more you open your heart to God, the more generous you are in doing His will, the will of God, the more you have to necessarily, I don't say close your heart, but be less and less open to those, say, with whom you live. Maybe those who are nearest and dearest to you, because they just are living in a different world. What single truth should be specially kept in mind in this context? And let's face it, it is the fact of our own weakness and failure to obey God's commandments and God's mercy toward sinners. That is why we must always beware of following the example of the self-justified Pharisee of the gospel and identify ourselves with the humble publican who prayed, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." How factual I could be. What hypocrites. What hypocrites there are in the Catholic Church. What pious recitation of the Rosary. What pious praying and more praying. And yet those same people, if you even hint or intimate that they've done something wrong, immediately they become defensive. I cannot tell you how hard it is, and I mean this, how hard it is for us to admit we've done wrong. And humbly before God, tell Him, "Lord, I have sinned be merciful to me, a sinner. Practically speaking, 173. How are we to imitate the publican in the gospel parable? We do so by consciously controlling our thoughts of Pharisaic self-complacency. We further do so by telling how desperately we depend on the constant assistance of His grace. By now I've dealt with thousands of souls. I've met my share of saints and scoundrels. And was written here, the drawing on the Holy Father's teaching, born of years of experience. Never for a moment allow yourself to think well of yourself in the sense of admiring yourself in the mirror of your own mind. On the other hand, realizing whatever good we have, whatever good we've done, we should thank God and never take credit for ourselves. And it is 2:25, which I think is a scheduled time for a break. Am I correct? I think so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, refuge of sinners, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. See you in 15 minutes.